All right, Jabo, say good morning. Let's begin. So we're picking up today's daf is Samech Vav 66. We left off yesterday, Samech Hemad Beis 65b. And we left off, we were speaking about Kishuf, Avodah Zarah, and in the midst of that, the Gemara spoke about the ability of Tzadikim, if they are truly davuk by to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to go ahead and literally engage in the creative process. So the Gemara spoke about Rav Hanina, Rav Oshia, who would sit together and learn Sefer Yetzirah, created Igla Tilsa. So let's begin. So the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, Ma'onein, so the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan Ma'onein, Rabbi Shimon Omer. So mostly the Torah speaks about a Ma'onein. What is the Ma'onein? Rabbi Shimon says, Zahamavir Shiva Mine Zachar Ala Ayin. This refers to someone who takes Zerah, who takes seed from seven different types of male animals, and goes ahead and puts it over his eyes. So what does that do? So apparently, again, from a Kishuf perspective, this allows, if you look at Rashi, he says over here, it's five lines up from the bottom, Shiva Mine Zachar, Shichvas Zera Mizayin Brios, so a person goes ahead and takes this seed from seven different male animals, passes it over his eyes, and somehow again it has some type of kishuf ability. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Chum says that Ochiz is Sinai. No, Ma'onin is just someone who's like a magician, like an illusionist, someone who goes ahead and does things that look like kishuf, but in reality are just what he calls achizas ha'inayim, just a trick. Rabbi Kiva Omer, zah mechashev itim v'shos. This is a person who lends a certain auspicious power to certain hours or to certain days. V'omer, or certain times. V'omer, hayom yafa latzeis. Today is a good day to begin the journey. V'machar yafa likach. Tomorrow is a good day to buy something. I will say again, the day itself only has some type of power because he's associating or ascribing that power to the day. Limude arvi shvios chitin yafos. We have a mesorah. The Rashi says over here, limude. It's known that arvi shvios kolomer erev shvios lemedin or regilin lios chitin yafos. The wheat before the seventh year, ultimately, again, are the best kinds of wheat. So the idea, ikure kitnios mihios rose. If you pick the legumes by hand and you don't go ahead and harvest them in a normal fashion, so they will not go bad. So we'll say all of these things, none of these things are rooted in reality. All of these things ultimately, again, are some type of superstitious type of thing. And therefore, again, if one engages in this, this is the prohibition of Ma'oni. Ten Rabbanon. Menachish, what's the Menachish? Zeh omer pito naflo mipiv. This refers to someone who says, my bread fell from my mouth. That's a bad omen. Maklo naflo biyado. His staff fell out of his hands. That's a bad omen. His son calls out to him from behind. In other words, someone's calling out to him from behind him. Tzvi hefsiko baderech. A deer stopped in his way. Nachash mimino v'shua mismolo. There's a snake on his right side and a fox on his left side. So as I said, that actually is a bit worrisome, right? If there's a snake on your right side, a fox on your left side. Top of Sanach Vav. Al taschil bi. Let's say again, the tax collector comes and he says, don't begin the collection with me. Rather, begin the collection from somewhere else. Shachris hu. I don't want to begin something first thing in the morning. Rosh Chodeshu, I don't want to begin something on Rosh Chodesh. Matzei Shabbosu, I don't want to begin something on Matzei Shabbos. So we'll say all of these things a person is saying, I don't want to engage in certain practices or do certain things because I feel like it's not a good omen. It's not a good omen. So any time that you ascribe unnecessary or inappropriate importance to omens, so the Gemara is telling me that Lamaisa, under those circumstances, I have violated the Isra of Menachish. Tan Rabbanan, the Braisa says, Lo Senachashu Velo Salmenu. What does this mean? Kegon Elu HaMenachashim B'chulda Ba'ofos U'bedagim. This ultimately again refers to people who ascribe validity to signs that come from the weasels, the birds, or from the fish. So any time that a person goes ahead and ascribes some type of superstitious power to some type of omen, then by definition a person is in violation of Lo Senachashu. Fine. Says Mishnah. Vosai Samech Vav Amudalev the Mishnah. Top Mishnah. HaMechalas HaShabbos. So if a person goes ahead and Mechal HaShabbos, now Rashi points out over here that under normal circumstances, if a person goes ahead and violates Shabbos and does so with Hasra, with proper warning, so the Chiyah is Skilo. The Mishnah says that a person violates Shabbos, but davar shechayavan al zedono kares. That I will say, for the same prohibition, if you did it without hasra or without proper warning, or without whatever, was some technical issue was missing, but you did it intentionally, there's a chiyuv kares. And the same act, if you do it accidentally, will make you liable ultimately to a chatos. Says the Gemara Mechlal de Ikamidi, the Chol Shabbos Avi, Vein Chayav in Laos Shigagoso Chatos, for Laos Adon Akaris. So we'll say the Gemara first in the Mishnah, that are you telling me that there is an aspect of Shabbos, or an area of Chol Shabbos, that you would not be Chayiv for if you did it Beshogig Chatos, or intentionally Karis? To which the Gemara says, Mahi, which area of Shabbos Avosai could it be that doesn't conform to this framework of accidental violation being chayiv, a karban chatos, and an intentional violation, albeit without proper hasra, make you chayiv chayiv karis? To which the Gemara says, yes, there are exceptions to this rule. What are the exceptions? Tchum in alibit Rabbi Akiva. For example, we'll say tchum. So tchum Shabbos means the fact that halacha l'maisa, again, there is a certain boundary which we are permitted to travel, a certain amount which we are permitted to travel on Shabbos, can't traverse past that boundary. According to Rabbi Akiva, it is an Issur D'oraisa. But if you violated it, there would be no Chiyuv Chatos for a Shogeg, and no Chiyuv Karis for a Mezid. Havara Va'ali B'drav Yossi. Or Rabbi Yossi Havara, which is the case ultimately of what? Of kindling a fire. So remember, Rabbi Yossi holds L'lav Yatzasa, that ultimately, again, the Torah singles out Havara to tell you that if you kindle a fire on Shabbos, you are dafka chayiv lav and not Misa. And not Misa. So says Rabbi Yossi, so these would be the exceptions to this rule. Says the Mishnah, Hamakala of Avi'imo Enu Chayvat Shekali B'Shem. If a person goes in and curses his parents, a person curses his father and his mother, he's only chayiv if he curses them using the Shem Hashem. If he doesn't curse them, Rashi says over here, Sheikalo b'shemos hagimurin. If you curse them with the absolute names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we're going to see what that's coming to exclude is a kinui. Right? It's coming to exclude ultimately again. It's coming to exclude a kinui if you use any of the we'll call it nicknames for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara says, Kilolam b'kinui. If you went ahead and you cursed them with a kinui, you said, Rashi says, Shakai, Svakos, Chanun, Rachum, then what's the halacha? Rabbi Meir mechayiv, Rabbi Chacham potrin. Ultimately, again, Rabbi Meir says that you're chayiv. Oh, thank you, Rafa. Rabbi Meir says that you're chayiv, and the Chachamim say that you are potter. So says the Gemara, let's analyze this. Man Chachamim. So we'll say, so here's what we have from the Gemara, from the Mishnah. Everyone will agree that if a person curses HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chas V'Shalom, a person curses his parents, which is also Chas V'Shalom, but a person does so, they're only chayiv if they do so b'shem Hashem, which is one of the actual names of God. If you go ahead and you curse your parent, you curse your parents with a kinui, Rabbi Meir says you're chayiv, the Chachamim say you're potter. So we'll say, so let's analyze. Says the Gemara, man Chachamim. Who are the Chachamim? To which the Gemara says, Rabbi Menachem b'Rabbi Yossi hu. It is a reference to Rabbi Menachem b'Rabbi Yossi. Disanyo, Rabbi Menachem b'Rabbi Yossi, Omer, b'nakvo b'shem. Nakvo b'shem yumas. So we'll say the pasuk says over here, it's v'nokev shem Hashem yumas. Right? If a person goes ahead and, now what we're going to see, by the way, the interesting discussion, nokev shem Hashem yumas, sounds like a person is cursing God. What we're going to see is that there's an interpretation on this pasuk that is referring to someone who curses his parents using the shem Hashem. So the Gemara says, v'nakvo shem yumas, ma tamu lomar shem. So what does it mean when it says shem? This pasuk is coming to teach me that I'm only chayiv for cursing my parents if indeed I curse them b'shem, if I curse them with the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tan Rabbanam, so the Gemara says, Ish, matam alomar. So we'll say, why does the pasuk need to say Ish? Now remember, the pasuk the Gemara they're talking about over here is Ki Ish Ish Asheri Kalev Asheri Kalel Es Aviv Ve'asimo. If a person goes ahead and curses his mother and his father. So the Gemara says, why does it have to say ish ish? Why does it have to say twice? The rabbos bas tumtum va'adrogenous. To teach you that even if the daughter of a tumtum and an androgynous goes ahead and curses her father or her parental entity, that lamaisa again, she is still going to be chayeves. So the pasuk says that a person will curse their father and mother. Ainli ela avivimo. I only know if a person curses their father and their mother together. Aviv shalo imo. Imo shalo aviv minat. I'll say, how do I know that if a child curses his father without his mother, or his mother without his father, that ultimately, again, he will be chayiv? Talmud Lomar Aviv V'Imo Kilel Damav Bo. Because the pasuk says Aviv V'Imo Kilel. His mother and his father as he cursed, therefore his blood shall be upon him. Aviv Kilo Kilel Imo Kilel. So both say the fact that it says Aviv V'Imo Kilel, that Vav is not a Vav Achiba, but rather again it's a Vav HaMosif, to teach you whether he curses his father or whether he curses his mother, he's going to be Chayiv. To which the Gemara says, Rabbi Yosha, Rabbi Yonasan Omer, Mashma Shnehen Ke'achad, U'mashma Echad Bifnei Atzmo. So Yochanan says, from the Pasuk we could infer that one would be Chayiv if he curses both of his parents together, and he's also Chayiv if he curses his parents one by one, meaning independently, Ad Sheyifot Lecha Kosav Yachtov. In other words, that's how we interpret the Pasuk Bepashtos, until the Pasuk would teach you explicitly that the only way you're Chayiv is if you were to curse them together. Mos Yumas, the Pasuk says, you shall be put to death. This is about the person who curses his parents. Mos Yumas, Beskila. So we'll say it teaches us that Allah myself, a person curses his parents, he's killed with Skila. Beskila, in Alabachas, Mikalami Samuras Vatora. So you want to say it's Skila, or maybe it's another one of the death penalties that's brought down in the Torah. Ne'emar Kan Damav Bo, Ve'ne'emar Lahalon Demehem Bom. It says over here by cursing parents, Dumb of Bo, and it says later on, ultimately, Gimbo says, this is by the Ovi Yedoni, the Mayhem Bum. Ma Lahalan, the Skila, just like by the Ovi Yedoni, Avodazara. Well, actually, we had a Machalotis, Avodazara, Kishuf, it's punishable by Skila, Afkan, the Skila. So, to over here, by cursing parents, it's also punishable by Skila. Onesh Shaman, Usambo, so we've learned the punishment as Harman. I suppose we've spoken about this concept many times, that the way it works in the Torah is that Lamais, again, first you have to have an Ashara. Thank you, official. First, you have to have an ashara. First, you have to go ahead and have a warning, and then you could go ahead and have a chi of nisa. In other words, if the Torah just lays down a punishment but doesn't first give a warning, so we need to find a source for the actual prohibition. So now I understand nisa. Tell me, where do we learn the ashara? Where do we learn ultimately the warning against cursing one's parents? Tamal Omar, Elohim lo sekalo. So we'll say, interestingly enough, the pasuk says, "You shall not curse Elohim." Now we're going to discuss who this refers to in just a moment. So what is the Gemara Darshan? This was a first wide line, Samech Vav Amud Aleph. Im Hayo Aviv Dayan, if his father was a judge, Harehu Bichlal Elohim Lo Sekalo, then the father is included in the prohibition of do not curse an Elohim, do not curse a judge. Im Hayo Aviv Nasi, if his father was a Nasi, then Harehu Bichlal V'Nasi Ba'am Chalosar. We'll say, remember again, there's an explicit pasuk that says that you shall not curse a Nasi within your people. Eino lo dayin velo nasi minayin. So we'll say, what happens if my father is not a nasi and he's not a dayin? Meaning, what happens if he's not either of these individuals? Then what? How do I know that ultimately, again, it is prohibited to curse him? So the Gemara says, Amrit hari ato dan binyan av mishnehen. You can learn out the binyan av, it will say, from these two, from nasi and from Elohim, and from the judge. Osai, a binyan av essentially means, for lack of it, like a common denominator. In other words, that we're able to go ahead and based on the occurrence of a particular principle in more than one location, we could create a paradigm. Binyan av means you create a paradigm, we could apply that paradigm to other situations. So I now know that what? I'm not allowed to curse a dayan. So if my father was a dayan, I can't curse him. I also know I can't curse the nasi. Right? If my father was a nasi, I can't curse him because he's the nasi. Now we're trying to figure out, what if my father is not a dayan? My father is not a nasi. To which the Gemara says, we could build the binyan av. And what does the binyan av say? It's a dan binyan mishneyan. Lo ri'i nasi k'ray dayan, v'lo ri'i dayan k'ray nasi. So both say, even though we're grouping nasi and dayan together, in reality, they are dissimilar. How are they dissimilar? So the Gemara says, lo ri'i dayan k'ray nasi. I'm sorry. Lo rei dain k'rayin nasi. Lost the place. Lo rei nasi k'rayin dain, but lo rei dain k'rayin nasi. Lo rei dain k'rayin nasi. So we'll say a dain is not like a nasi. How so? Shari dain atamitzuva al hora also. They both say you know that you have to follow the psak din of a dain. But if a dain makes a psak din in halacha, you have to follow that halacha, and non-compliance with that halacha carries with it severe penalties. On the other hand, they both say, I am not chayiv to follow the halachic rulings of the nasi. Now again, I'm chayiv to follow the legal rulings of the nasi, but lav dafka the halachic rulings of the nasi. So the Gemara says, yet on the other hand, so lo ra'i dayin k'ra'i nasi, shari dayin atam mitzvah al hara also.
So the Gemara says, I'm obligated to follow the halachic ruling of a dayan, but I'm not obligated to follow the halachic ruling of a nasi. On the other hand, a nasi, bless you, a nasi is not like a dayan house. So the Gemara says, shanasi ata mitzuva al hamra also, kiroi dayan shiata mitzuva al hamra also. So we'll say there is an interesting distinction here. I am not, see, on the other hand, we'll say if the dayan gives me a non-halachic ruling, I'm not necessarily bound by it, I'm not blind, I'm not bound to follow whatever the dayan says. On the flip side, the nasi has authoritarian power, and whatever the nasi says, you're right, outside the realm of halacha, whatever the nasi says is absolutely binding law. And if I don't go ahead and listen to the words of the nasi, then that's like what? That's like morid b'malchus. That's like rebelling against the monarchy, for which there would be a chiyuv misa. So the point the Gemara is making over here is, as much as we're grouping them together, lemaisa again, they are dissimilar. On the other hand, hatzala shava shava, so we'll say, what is the common denominator between the nasi and the dayan? Shehein ba'amcha, we'll say the common denominator is, they are both members of Klal Yisrael, va'ata musra al kilalasan, and you are not permitted to curse either of them. So we'll say, what's the paradigm I'm going to build? The paradigm I'm going to build is, af ani avi avicha, sheba'amcha va'ata musra al kilalasan. So we'll say, using this paradigm, I would include a father. Why? Because the father is also part of the nation of Klal Yisrael, and therefore what? You shouldn't be able to curse him either. I will say that Rashi points out, by the way, according to this Binyan Av, who else is included in this prohibition of cursing someone? Every member of Klal Yisrael. Because it was like, meaning the paradigm ultimately is that if you're a member of Klal Yisrael, I can't curse you. Okay? So the Gemara is using this principle to teach me that I can't curse my father, but Lamaisa, the actual Binyan Av, works for every member of Klal Yisrael, to which the Gemara says, "Afani avi avicha shabam chavata musar kilaloso." Why don't I say? Says the Gemara, "Tana shava shabahen shekin gidulas and garmelahen." Says the Gemara, "I don't understand. There's a different common denominator between nasi and between nasi and between Elohim, between the dayon. What's the common denominator? Then why can't you curse both of them? Because they occupy exalted positions of leadership. In other words." Maybe that's the common denominator, and therefore that Torah is coming to teach you that anyone who occupies a position of leadership, by definition, you can't curse them, but lav dafka, that it includes the father, to which the Gemara says, their greatness, in other words, their greatness, has ultimately, again, created a prohibition that I can't curse them. Tamulover, therefore, what does the Pasuk say? Lo sekal el cherish. The Pasuk also says, you can't curse the deaf person. You can't curse the chereish. What does the chereish represent? Well, in the Gemara's view, the chereish represents be'umlolim sheba'amcha kosov medaber. The chereish ultimately is referring to who? Is referring to the umlolim. Now, if you look at the first white line in Rashi, Rashi says umlolim means bishvelim, the lowest people. Now, I will say, in this case, low doesn't chas v'shalom mean of a quality of person. What it means is those who are sometimes on the lowest rung of society, i.e. they're taken advantage of. So what do you see from here? You see from here that lamaisa, the prohibition to curse someone, we have, the Torah essentially tells me this prohibition in three different places that all represent three different aspects of the spectrum. Also, I forgot to mention, today is the last day that the Haken family is sponsoring the daf in honor of the month of Elul, right? In honor, ultimately, again, of Ksiva Chasimut Tofal of Klal Yisrael, ultimately, again, an aliyah for Said's father's neshama, Refuah Shlema for Kol Choli Yisrael and Ksiva V'Chasimah Tova for all of Klal Yisrael.
Amen.
Tishrei is open. Tishrei is open.
September.
Oh, September. Oh, good. Tishrei is not open. Good. Thank you. I should say, at least the first 10 days of Tishrei are not open, but the remaining 20 days are open. So says the Gemara the following. So we'll say, so therefore, the Gemara says, what you have over here is a prohibition to curse the Nasi and Dayan on one end, and the Chirish on the other end. So again, so what you see over here is the prohibition against cursing someone cannot be solely related to their occupying a position of greatness, because I'm also not permitted to curse the Chirish, to which the Gemara says, Ma l'Chirish, Shekin Chareshasa Garmalo. So I can say the following, a Chirish ultimately again can't be cursed, why? Because his Charishus, his deafness, has caused him not to be cursed. So what does it mean? Take a look at the first line of wide line of Rashi again. Because he is lowly, His here alav hakasuf shalot tevazehu v'lo ta'atzir b'pnei shenosin saraso alibo umeita shifus. And I also understand, this is also, by the way, reflecting a different kind of societal norm, where a person who was deaf, or for that matter, a person who had most kind of handicaps, ultimately, again, was relegated to just to a different part of society. Not relegated to Chas Shalom because people looked down on him, but because, again, a deaf person was cut off. A deaf person was just cut off. So the idea over here, says the Gemara, that why can't you be Mekal L'Cheresh? Because he has something inherent in him that causes him to be cast to a lower rung in society. You know what, better stated, that causes him to be marginalized. Right? No, it is. Meaning, don't be politically correct. This is the way that it was. Meaning, a deaf person, a handicapped person, wasn't the same as everyone else. That's a metzias. It's not a statement about the quality of an individual. It's a fact. The same way that a cheresh can't serve as an aid. That a cheresh, now again, there's a lot of halachic literature with what you do with these halachos today. Because again, Baruch Hashem, it's different. It is different. A person could be deaf, a person could be blind, and Baruch Hashem, they could be a part and parcel of society in its entirety. Baruch Hashem, that has changed in many different ways. But the Chirish himself was marginalized. So the Gemara says over here, so Malach Chirish, Shekin Charisha, so Garmalo, Nasi V'dayin Yochichu. So we'll say on the other hand, I'm Nasi and Dayan. Malach Nasi V'dayin, Shekin Gedulos and Garmalahan. Chirish Chochiach. So we'll say, essentially what we see over here is the following. We know you can't curse people. And yet the two extremes we have is there are certain people you can't curse because they're great, and certain people you can't curse because they're already marginalized and on the fringe of society. So what's going on over here? So what we're trying to do is, we're trying to create a paradigm. But how do you create a paradigm when the only examples you have are the extremes? To which the Gemara says, V'chazra adin, lori zekri izeh, v'lori zekri izeh. So it's hard to find the common denominator. Zeh atar ashav Hashem. What is the common denominator? Shein ba'amcha, v'ata musa al kilalasan. So I'll say the only common denominator between the Dayon, the Nasi, and the Cheresh is that what? What's the only common denominator? They're all Jews. They're all members of Klal Yisrael. And I can't curse them. So therefore, again, the only paradigm I can create is what? Therefore, anyone who is a member of Klal Yisrael, I cannot curse. So to again, I'll go ahead and what? I'll include a father who, what Rabbi say, is a member of Klal Yisrael, and ultimately, again, I cannot curse
can't
him.
Can't you ask why wasn't it just said straight out without all these extremes?
Oh, so Baruch Hu wants us to work. Baruch Hu wants us to work. The Ibn Shom wants us to find truths by plumbing the depths, by getting up early, by saying slichos, by going to work late and learning daf yomi. That's the million-dollar question. We could save ourselves a whole bunch of trouble if Torah, remember, once upon a time, Torah Shebaal Peh was just a list of laws. So, Hashem Baruch Hu clearly wanted somehow the Mesorah to be fuzzy a little bit so that we would have to work at it. So the Gemara goes right there. So why don't you say the following? Maybe the common denominator is that each of these people are different. Maybe they're different. Now the Cheresh obviously is different. His difference is inherent. The Dayan and the Nasi are different because they occupy exalted positions. So maybe that's the difference. Maybe anyone who is different, you cannot curse. Ela imki nichtov kra, o Elohim v'Cheresh, o Nasi v'Cheresh. If that's the case, again, I will say, here's the problem. Then just let the psukim talk about the two extremes, right? Let it speak about a judge and a cheresh, or a nasi and a cheresh. The question is, why do I need both the nasi and the cheresh? Nasi v'cheresh. Elohim lamali. Why do I need both Elohim as well as nasi? In Eino Inyan Lugufo, so I will say, remember again, once you're teaching me about the nasi, I don't really need to be told that I can't curse the judge. Because from the Nasi, I can understand that anyone who occupies a position of authority, you can't curse. So why does the Torah come along and say the Nasi? If I don't need the actual Nasi to teach you the prohibition, that I can't curse a judge, that's obvious, or that's learned out from Nasi. Ultimately, again, Abba said, the Gemara says the extra word, or the extra prohibition of cursing, the Elohim, the judge, comes to because I don't need it to teach me about cursing a judge, I can use the teacher the prohibition about cursing a father. So Rabbi says, now the Gemara takes a step back. Elohim chol. Rabbi says, this all works out fine according to the one who says that when the pasuk says Elohim lo sekalel, that's chol. Chol means, Rabbi says, that Elohim doesn't mean God. Elohim means a judge. So now this whole discussion makes sense if you understand that Elohim is chol, meaning the word Elohim is mundane, doesn't refer to God, rather refers to the judge. Elohim Adamar Kodesh Michael Name. We'll say according to one who says it's not Elohim, but rather what? It's Elohim. Because it refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then what is there to say? This Sanya, because the Pasuk says, Elohim chol divrei bishmo. Bishmo also will say that the Elohim in the Pasuk is chol, who's not referring to God, rather is referring to a man, i.e. a judge. Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Kiva says, Elohim Kodesh. Rabbi Kiva says, no. The Elohim in the Pasuk will say is referring to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Tanya, and we learned in our Braisa, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omar, How do I know that I'm not allowed to curse HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Mevarech, by the way, you know, is a euphemism for blaspheming. How that I can't blaspheme HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Tamalomar, Elohim lo sekalel. Ultimately, again, you can't curse HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Bosei, the Gemara just says, you're making all of these binyan avs and drushes, and essentially, you're trying to learn out that you can't curse your father from Elohim lo sekalel. To which the Gemara says, that's fine if you're understanding that Elohim is exactly that, refers to not cursing a person. In this case, a judge. But because I don't need to be teaching a judge, he's teaching my father. But according to the Man D'Amu, who says that Elohim is really, again, a reference to God, not to a human judge. Therefore what? The drasha using it, that I can't curse my father, doesn't work. To which the Gemara says something very interesting. So, Talmud Omar, Elohim lo sekalel. Man D'Amar, Elohim chol. So it's according to the opinion who says that the word Elohim refers to a judge, refers to a man, not to God. Then gamar kodesh michol. We'll say this. Then if I can't curse a judge, or now that based on the limud, my father, then I certainly can't curse who? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. Lamanda amar Elohim kodesh. According to the one who says that Elohim ultimately is kodesh, refers to God. Then what? Gaminon chol mikodesh. Then I would say, the same way I can't curse a judge, right? The same way I can't curse HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so too I can't curse a judge or my father. So Gemara says, what does that mean? So I understand that if you say that Elohim is Chol, so Bosei, obviously, if I can't curse a judge / father, then I can't curse HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I can learn out Kodesh Michol. Elohim Da'amar Elohim Kodesh, Gamar Chol Mikodesh. But I will say, ultimately, again, if I understand that Elohim is Kodesh, that again, the Torah is telling me I can't curse God, Gamar Chol Mikodesh. So I will say, just because I can't curse God, I can't learn out from that what? That I can't curse other people. To which the Gemara says, Dilma, a Kodesh Aser, a Chol Lo Aser. Maybe I will say, the Torah is only telling me that I'm only prohibited to curse God, but I'm not prohibited to curse people. Right? I can curse people if I want to. To which the Gemara says, "Im kein lo lichtov kra lo sakel." If that's the case, I will say the pasuk could have said "lo sakel," right? And that would have meant "do not curse." My amud beis, my lo sakalel. Why does the Torah add in the extra lashes? So I will say sakel is a lashon of like takala, like a stumbling block, which we could interpret to mean curse as well. Why does the Torah write the long form and say sakalel two lamids shma minatarti? Therefore, I will say, come and teach me that what. There are two klavas included over here. What are the two klavas? That I can't curse HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but I also can't curse the Dayan, the Dayan. The Dayan, by extension, ultimately the Father. Take a look at Rashi, lo sekalo, shtei klavas b'mashma, ve'elokim nami beiz l'shonos yeshbo, hilchok lo sekalo d'shen t'ra. So this is actually very interesting. Since you're going to Rashi, we do something that we never do, which is, first part of the drasha is sekalo, two lamids. You could have just written the word with one lamid and that would have sufficed. The fact that you're writing two lamids indicates that we're talking about cursing two people. Furthermore, I will say, technically speaking, the word Elohim could also refer to two people, which, you know, in general, we have like an intense theological aversion to ever interpreting Elohim as referring to more than one entity. But apparently here, Rashi is suggesting that we can. Elohim could refer to God, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but Elohim could also refer to who? God. To a human judge. Good. So we'll say, so bottom line, don't curse people. That's the take-home message, right? Now again, so what we know is, I can't curse a chirish, as an explicit isudaraisa. I can't curse a nasi, explicit isudaraisa. What I also know is I can't curse HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I can't curse a judge, and I can't curse my father. I know all of those things to be true. Those are all facts on the ground. The only issue at play over here is what? Is where ultimately, again, we learn those prohibitions out from. Good. Says the Mishnah. Bosa v'go weiter. Haba nara ha'murasa. We'll say if a person has relations with a nara ha'murasa. Remember, nara ha'murasa. Now, these terms are going to be very specific. So we normally just translate Nara Murasa as a girl, a woman, who is betrothed to another man. So what's the Isra of Nara Murasa? It's adultery. Now what we're going to see is the Torah singles out Nara Murasa, ultimately again, with a punishment of skila. Under normal circumstances, prohibitions of or violations of adultery are punishable by chenek, strangulation. Yet interestingly enough, Nara Murasa is punished by skila. Why? The Gemara is going to talk about the specific criteria for this prohibition. So first of all, number one, she has to be a nara. I also remember again, what's a nara? So remember from our Kiddushin days, a nara is a very specific 6-month window between 12 years old and 12 and a half years old. Because less than 12, she's a ketana. More than 12 and a half, she's a bogeres. So nara is that very specific window between 12 and 12 and a half. So therefore, again, eino chayiv, only chayiv skila, ad she tein nara, she's a nara, besula, she has to be a besula, and meurasa, she's betrothed to another man, vihiba veisaviha, and she is living in her father's home. We'll say these, now again, I want to be clear. Just be, if a woman, and we're going to discuss explicitly in the Gemara, if a woman does not satisfy one of these criteria, now, the one criteria that has to be in effect in order for punishment to devolve upon the man is Chesi Me'urasa. Chesi betrothed. If she's not betrothed, then she's a single girl. She's a single girl. It's bad, but it's not going to be punishable by Skila. So both said, but the idea is, besides being Me'urasa, if any of these other details are not in effect, Lemaisa, again what? Lemaisa, he will be chayiv. We'll discuss what her punishment is. He'll be chayiv misa, just not skila. So the Gemara says, bo ala shnaim, if ultimately, again, two men had relations with this girl, harishon beskila, so the first one ultimately, again, is punishable by skila, vahasheni bechenek. And the second one is punishable by chenek. Now, we'll say, what's between the first one and the second one? The first one, when he commits adultery with her, is committing adultery with a besula. So again, remember, if she's a besula, then the punishment ultimately, again, is skila. If she's not a besula, then ultimately, again, the punishment is chenek. So the Gemara goes weiter. Tana rabbanan. Na'ara v'lo bogeres. So we'll say, the Gemara now dashes on the pasuk. This prohibition of adultery with na'ara ha'me'urasa, that's punishable by skila, is dafka number one with a na'ara v'lo bogeres. I will say, so na'ara means the age between 12 and 12 and a half, and na'ara bogeres, besula v'lo be'ula. Besula, we'll say furthermore, and again, she has no relations with anyone else. Me'urasa, she is betrothed, v'lo nesua. Beveisavia, she's living in her father's house. Prat l'shem maser ha'av l'shluchei ha'bal. This comes to exclude a case where what? Where the father gave over the girl to, ultimately, again, the agents of the husband. So we'll say, so again, I want to be clear. The Gemara is not suggesting, although the Gemara will suggest it, but we're not suggesting that if it doesn't adhere to one of these criteria, the guy is potter. It's just ultimately, again, the Torah is speaking about a very specific situation that is punishable by skila. In order to be chayv skila, the following criteria must be in effect. These words, Rabbi Meir, avacham, the chachamim say, na'ara ha'me'urasa afilu kitana b'mashma. So we'll say, the chachamim say that even if she's a kitana, but she's me'urasa, living beveis aviha, and she is a besula, a man who has relations with her will be punishable by skila. And the Mishnah is coming to exclude a kitano. Duma rabbanon hi ulame ute bulgaris asulo. Maybe I will say the Mishnah reflects the view of the rabbanon. And what the Mishnah is coming to teach me is that what? That the girl, as long as the girl is not a bogeres, ultimately, again, the adulterer will be punished by skila. Amrlei, hai eino chayiv atshetei nara besula meurasa, eino chayiv ela al nara besula meurasa in baile. That's the case again. The Gemara answers, the Mishnah should not have said, eino chayiv atshetei nara, because it will say, shetei nara seems to what? Seems to limit the fact that she can't be a ketana, nor can she be a bogeres. It should have said, eino chayev ela al na'ara besula me'urasa. If he was coming to limit, ultimately, again, just a bogeres, but not what? But not a ketana. Then it should have said, eino chayev ela al na'ara besula me'urasa. Visu lo midi. So the Gemara says, and there's nothing else to be said about this. Ba'umine Rav Yaakov bar Abba, excuse me, Ba'umine Rav Yaakov bar Adam Meirav. Ba'al akitana me'uras labi meir mahu. So we'll listen to this. If a man has relations with a girl who is a ketana ben me'urasa, so we'll say in this case over here, remember the paradigmatic case of na'ara ha-me'urasa, which is punishable by skila, is the case where what? Where, as the Mishnah said, she is a na'ara, she is me'urasa, and she's living in her father's home. What happens in the following case? There is a girl who is a ketana, but has erusin, right? Has erusin. What happens if a man has relations with her? What is the status? So the Gemara says, "L'Rabbi Meir, mahu legamre mam itle, or miskila mam itle." Does Rabbi Meir mean to say that a man who has relations with this girl is potter altogether, or is he just saying no? He's not potter. It's just that he doesn't get skila. Instead of skila, he gets what? He gets chenek. Amarle, to which he responded, "Mistabra miskila mam itle." It would seem to be that Rabbi Meir is just saying that he's putter from skila, but ultimately, again, still chayiv misa from chanek. V'haksev umesu gam shnei. But one second. The pasuk says that both the adulterer and the adulteress are put to death. Achu shneihem shavin. They both say, it appears, based on the pasuk, that what? The only time you execute a man for adultery is when? When you can execute the woman for the same act. They both say, in this case, can you execute the woman for the act?
No.
And he says, no, why? She's a ketana. She's a ketana, to which the Gemara says, Shasik Rav. Rav was silent, he was unable to answer this. Amr Shmuel, my time is Shasik Rav. Ultimately, again, why was Rav silent? V'neimalei umei sa'ish asher shachav ima levado. But yet the Pasuk says, and the man, umei sa'ish asher shachav ima levado, the man who slept with her, will be executed. Now both say, levado, the Gemara understands to mean what? By himself. Now both say, now what is this talking about? This is talking about the man who violates a na'ara ha-me'urasa. Right? And the Torah is coming to teach me that because the girl was violated, and because, again, according to Torah, this takes place in the Sada, a place where she did not have access to help, therefore what? He is executed, she is not. He's executed, she is not. Well, I'll say, but what do you see from here? You see from here that there is a case where we will execute a man for a case of adultery. Because we must remember again, we're not executing him because he violated a woman. Because we must say, what's the penalty if a man violates a woman? What's the penalty? Number one, he has to marry her. Number two, there's a financial penalty associated with it. Right? But again, assuming she's single, the Isser over here, the reason he's put to death is because he's committed an act of adultery. But what do you see from here? You see from here that even an act of adultery does not generate what we're called mirrored liability for the man and the woman. The man could still be executed. Therefore, in our case over here, where a man has relations with a ketana ha-me'urasa, even though she cannot be executed because she's a ketana, he could still be executed, to which the Gemara says, ketanoi. In reality, this is a machlokes tanoi. The pasuk says, umesu gam shneim. One pasuk says that both the adulterer and adulteress are executed. And what do we learn from here? Achu shneim shavni Rabbi Yosha. Rabbi Yosha says, what do we learn from Rabbi Yosha? That ultimately, again, you could only execute them for adultery when both can be executed. Rabbi Yonasan says, umes ha'ish asher shachav ima levado. Yet Rabbi Yonasan says that the pasuk says that the man who slept with her will be executed by himself. By himself. So what do you see from here? So again, we'll say, it's machlokes tanoim. Which pasuk do we darshan? Do we darshan ultimately again? Do we darshan umesu gam shnehem, which tells you that the only time they're executed is when they both can be executed? Or do we darshan umesa isha sher shachav ima levado? Levado teaches that there are times where he's executed and she is not, to which the Gemara says, the other opinion will say, Hahi umesugam shnehem my darish bay. So the Gemara says, what does he darshan? Meaning the second to me, what does he darshan umesugam shnehem? Amrava lemeute maase chidudim. I will say, what that comes to exclude is the following. Let's say a man and woman engaged in inappropriate behavior, but it wasn't bia. It wasn't bia, right? So maase chidudim, Rashi says over here, it's the first wide line, lemeute maase chidudim, mechadet umekasha evaro bibsara mibachutz, vuhu ne'ne, V'hi eino nenis. L'achi k'siv shneim shiu shneim shavin nenin. So also listen to this. So the Gemara Darshan's over here is the following. What I can, even according to the opinion who Darshan's levado, could say, so what is there from the pasuk of u'meisigam shneim? Meisigam shneim also means that the prohibition, that they're only killed if it's an act that's pleasurable to both of them, which is reference to Bia. But if, let's say, again, there was some type of inappropriate behavior that happened, that was pleasurable for the man, but wasn't an act of Bia, that was pleasurable for the woman, then ultimately, again, that's not called adultery, punishable by Misa. Still wrong, still inappropriate, but not punishable by Misa. V'idach, the other opinion will say, Maisa chidudim lav klumi. I don't need a pasuk to exclude Maisa chidudim, Rabosai, because Maisa chidudim is nothing. Or meaning it's halachically nothing. The only thing that's actually adultery is what? Is Bia. V'idach, Hai levado my darish bay. So we'll say, what does the other opinion do? What does the other opinion do? Ultimately, again, with levado. So the Gemara says, Kidisanya, bo ala asara bene adam, vaidain hibisula. So we'll say, he uses it for the following case. If ultimately there were 10 men who had relations with the betrothed girl, but she's still a basula, still a basula ultimately means that it was bia shelo kidarka. So her basulim are still intact. So what's talacha? Kulam beskila. The Rebbe said they are all punishable by skila. Why are they all punishable by skila? Because remember again, the punishment for a nara meurasa who is a basula is skila. The punishment for a nara hameurasa who is not a basula is what? Is chenek. So in this case over here, levado means any time that he is having relations with the woman, and she's still a basula, even though what's a bosai, even though she's had bia, but the basulim are still intact, ultimately, again, because all of the bia was shaloki darka, they're all killed with skila. Rabbi Omer Rabbi says, harishon beskila, v'kulam bechenek. Rabbi says, no, only the first one gets skila, and the rest of them, ultimately, again, are killed with chenek. Because we'll say, in Rabbi's view, once she's had bia, even if it's bia shelo kidarka, she's no longer a basula. Therefore, again, adultery is still prohibited, but the punishment will not be skila, the punishment will be chenek. This is the Gemara Satan Rabbanon. Ubas ish koin ki secha liznos. So what's another bicycle is the following. Torah is speaking about over here, a bas koin, right? The daughter of a koin who is betrothed and engages in znos. So we'll say, so what are we dashing from this? Rabbi Omer, tchila. So Rebbe says, now what Rebbe's dashing is the word kisechal. What does kisechal liznos? Rebbe says sechal means beginning. Tchila v'chinu Omer umeis ha'ish asher shachav ima levado. Similarly, the pasuk says, and the man who slept with her, he himself will be killed. So my camera, what is Rebbe saying exactly? Omer afun b'Yeshua Rebbe kebishmo sirle. Rebbe holds a kebishmo. What does Rebbe Shmo say? The Omer arusa yatsa l'sreifa. That Rebbe will say, it's Dafka and Arusa, Bas Koin, who is in Arusa, who engages in adultery, who is put to death through Sreifa, and not in the Suah. So what was Rebbe saying? V'hachi kamar, im tchilas bia biznos bisreifa. If ultimately, again, Rebbe will say, the first time she is quote-unquote profaned is through this act of znos, then ein achinami, then they're killed with Sreifa. V'idach bechenek. But any subsequent acts of znos, ultimately again, will be punishable by chenek. My v'chein, I'll say, what does that word v'chein mean? Ki hasam. Ma hasam b'tchilas bia kamishtaikra. Just like over there, the pasuk is talking about a first bia. Hachanai b'tchilas bia mishtaikra. So to over here by the Bas Koin, I'll say, the only time she's punishable by strefa is if what? Is ki sechel. If the beginning of her, I know this is not good English, but her profanation, right? The beginning of her being profaned happened through this act, then there's a chiyuv sreifa. But if she was already profaned beforehand, as much as this is an act of adultery, it's not punishable by sreifa. Amri Rabibi bar Abaye, mar lo hachi amar. So Rabibi said to Abaye, Rabibi bar Abaye said, mar, my Rebbe did not say like this. Who's his Rabbi Umanu? Rav Yosef. So we'll say, so why? Because Rav Yosef, because Rabbi, Umanu Rav Yosef, Rabbi Krabi Meir, Rabbi actually holds a Krabi Meir. The Amar, Nises, so we'll say, what does this mean? This is talking about, again, a Bas Koin. Right? A Bas Koin. Let's say a Bas Koin married someone who is Asr to her. She married a Mamzer. Then what happens? Oh, so bless you. Then what happens? She commits adultery with someone. What's the punishment for that act of adultery? To which the Gemara says, Chenek. Rebbe will say, now, one second, doesn't the Torah say that a Bas Koin, if she commits adultery, is punishable by Sreifa? To which the Gemara says, no, I'll tell you why. V'achikamar. Im tchilas achalta biznus b'sreifa v'idach b'chenek. Ultimately, again, what it means to say is the following. When is a bas coin punishable by sreifa? Only when, Rabosai, only if this maisa of znus is what profanes her. But if she was already, quote-unquote, profaned beforehand, ultimately, again, she will be punished for the adultery, right? But she'll be punished for the adultery like any other act of adultery, which is what? Which is punishable by chenek. Therefore, I will say, the Gemara is using this case. Therefore, in this particular case, what do we say? In this case, where the Maisa, she was married to someone who was puzzled. So because she's married to someone who was puzzled, therefore what? She's already, quote-unquote, profaned. Now, when she commits adultery with someone else, ultimately, again, that will be punishable by chenek, like a regular act of adultery, not like sreifa. The only time a bas kohen gets sreifa is the first, is when ultimately, again, she commits an act that initially profanes her. Umay v'chein. So we'll say, if that's the case, now the word v'chein always indicates that two cases are similar. So if that's the case, then what is the similarity, ultimately, again, between the case of the bas kohen who committed adultery and the Nara HaMe'uras? In other words, they seem to be dissimilar cases, to which the Gemara says, top of Samach Zayin Abosai, Simna Ba'alma, Enachinami. They're not really similar, but rather, again, the Brisa just wrote the Chain as a similar. Look at the top Rashi, Samach Zayin Abed Aleph, Simna Ba'alma, Ubitchilas Shum Dav, excuse me, Ubitchilas Shum Davra Kosav Medaber, V'tchilas Chilo Miyuhava. So I'll say the only similarity is that they're both talking about cases, ultimately, again, of Tchilas Chilo, of the beginning of being profane. The case of Na'ara HaMe'urasa that gets skila, the Bible says only a case of where what? She was a basula. So to speak, again, if she's quote-unquote been profaned, i.e. she's a ba'ula, then as much as there'll be a punishment for adultery, it will not be skila, rather it'll be chenek. Similarly, although it's a different halakha, but the concept is the same, by bas kohen. A bas kohen will be put to death by sreifa for an act of adultery. When, Rabbi Hussein, when this act of adultery is what profanes her. But if she was already profaned before, for example what? For example, she was married to someone who was puzzled to her, then lemaisa, again, when she commits an act of adultery, she will be chayavis an act of adultery, chenek, but ultimately, again, will not get the punishment of sreifa. So we'll say, so bottom line, take home message. So what we have over here, right, take home message number one is don't curse Jews. That's take home message, right? And pretty much everyone is included in that. Take home message number two is don't commit adultery, right? That's, again, these are basic yisodos. These are basic yisodos. It's good to, new year, good to review the fundamentals. And I'll say, on a serious note, what does come up is the following, that whenever the Torah highlights a unique and special punishment for what appears to be an act of adultery, that is only when it was this act that caused the change in status of the individual. But if the individual's status was already changed before, then they do not get the quote-unquote special punishment, rather they just get the standard punishment. And the two examples that the Gemara brings up for that is Na'ara HaMe'urasa, she has to be a Basula to get Skila. If she's not a Basula, you'll still be punished ultimately again for adultery, but not with Skila. Bas Kohen, for Bas Kohen commits Nus, she's killed with Sreifa. But again, that's only if she still has her status of a Bas Kohen. If she was already profaned before, i.e. she married someone illegal, so she will still be punished for her actions, but not in the unique way ultimately again of Sreifa. So we'll stop over here for today. I'll just share with you a very, very, very short